Lecture 4, The Age of Empresses, Catherine the Great.
One of the intriguing facts about Russian history in the 18th century is that for most of that century after the death of Peter the Great in 1725, most of the country was ruled, most of the time was ruled by women, by empresses. And this lecture explores just this age of empresses, as it might be called, especially the very important reigns of Elizabeth, Peter's daughter, and of course of Catherine II, or Catherine the Great. We'll be considering their actions and their reforms, and of course, very importantly, their relationship to the whole Petrine legacy of Westernization, but especially looking at the particular ideas and ideals and values that inspired them. First, though, it's useful to frame this with a brief overview of the succession of rulers following the death of Peter I. From 1725 to 27, for just a couple of years, Peter the Great's second wife, Catherine I, as she was known, ruled Russia. And she was evidently Peter's own choice of heir. He actually crowned her as his empress, though he never actually declared who should follow him in power, though he retained the right to do just that. What's striking is that, like everything, Peter chose somebody who wasn't necessarily born to a role. She was not from noble background. In fact, she was a former servant girl, and she was not even Russian. She was from the Baltic provinces. She was Estonian or Latvian or Lithuanian, depending on who you read. In fact, she was also, rather typical of Peter, the former lover of one of his closest advisors, Alexander Menshikov, but he decided he preferred her, and Menshikov, of course, had to accept that. Her reign really had one major achievement, which would become significant later. She created a council, what was called the Supreme Privy Council, of advisors, high nobles, but also notables who had risen to their role in the court under Peter I, whatever their background. But mostly, increasingly, high nobles ran the Supreme Privy Council and advised the Tsar. After Catherine's death, Peter the Great's 12-year-old grandson came to the throne, who was known as Peter II, who ruled very briefly. After less than 3 years on the throne, he died of smallpox, which also notably brought to the end the male line of the Romanov dynasty. He ruled only 1727 to 30. There's a rather intriguing side note to the reign of Peter II. He's the only male ruler in the 18th century after Peter who ruled for more than a few months, as you'll see in a moment. But given that, in his short time as the only real substantial male ruler in the 18th century after Peter, he made a rather startling brief effort to reverse, at least partly, Peter the Great's reforms. He tried to bring the old aristocratic families back to court, throwing out many of Peter's closest associates, people often of non-noble background, who rose on the basis of merit and service. He even briefly and highly symbolically transferred the capital away from St. Petersburg to Moscow, a turning back to the old. Still, he couldn't really undo the fundamental westernization that had taken place in Peter's time, because the culture in many ways of the nobles, despite these efforts, was still quite Western. In 1730, for 10 years until 1740, the empress became Anna, who was the daughter of Ivan V, Peter's co-tsar. She was known actually at first for cooperating with the high aristocracy. In fact, she was basically given the throne by the Supreme Privy Council, which also said, while you're agreeing to taking the throne, you must agree to certain conditions, as they called them, which would ensure that the high aristocracy had a dominant role, would control the guards troops, often used in helping to bring people to the throne, and also would be able to control a great deal of policy. She accepted this for a rather short time, and then decided that's not the way a Russian autocrat ought to be, tore up the conditions, insisted on her absolute rights to autocracy, began to do everything she could to limit the power of the high aristocracy, including abolishing the Supreme Privy Council as interfering too much in her reign. She also became notably brutal, not only in these manners, but also in arresting and executing religious dissenters of all sorts, as well as many other criminals, so much so that she became known to history as Bloody Anna.